This is the season of Pentecost, of honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. Wisdom, that's the character of our scripture from today, is the Hebrew Bible iteration of the Holy Spirit. At least that's one way of thinking about her, though there is a lot of fancy scholarly debate. This is also our now annual season of Sabbath at Lyndale, Sabbath summer, when we make intentional time to rest and hone our spiritual practices. The last few weeks, the convergence of these two seasons of Pentecost and Sabbath have been tumbling around in my head and my body and my soul. And I've been wondering what we can learn by honoring Spirit, wisdom, and Sabbath at the same time. What they might have to do with each other. But before we get all high and mighty and theological, it's time to pause for a reality check. I'm not preaching as an expert on Sabbath. Let's be really clear about that. I am more of a desperate learner of Sabbath practices. I am more spiritually, physically, and emotionally exhausted than I can remember being, actually. While the love in my life has increased exponentially since becoming a parent, the numbers of hours in a day has not actually expanded. Turns out. Love isn't like pie, but time is. There is only so much to go around. Where are my fellow parents here? You know this, right? And while there are tremendous gifts of living in a multi-generational home, caring for an aging and disabled parent is profoundly and painfully poignant too. Where are my fellow elder care? I see you, Catherine. Whew, you know this. And while I'm being honest, this has also been a deeply challenging church year for me. We had to walk through a process of asking a congregant to leave because of abusive and threatening behavior, including against me and my own family. I can feel my heart racing just saying it out loud. Abusive relationships create toxicity and trauma that lives in our bodies that so many of us still grapple with. All of this messiness of human life is the reason that the Sabbath day is not just a passing mention in the Bible. It's a full-on commandment from God. Because without holy rest to reconnect with the divine, with the source of wisdom, we are just plain ripe for burnout. One of my mentors of sustainable living is a man I've only met through his books, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. He's best known in our circles for calling on us to, quote, pray with our feet, as in protest, as an act of prayer. He walked the front lines of the civil rights struggles in the 1960s with Reverend Dr. King. But what sustained his justice practice was his prayer practice, and more specifically, his Sabbath practice. He wrote in his now classic book on Sabbath, "What is the Sabbath? Spirit in the form of time. Spirit in the form of time." I love that. This is the connection between our two seasons, Pentecost and Sabbath, Spirit, wisdom, and rest. Sabbath, the day of rest God commands each week, is divine. It is, in and of itself, an incarnation of wisdom spirit. We are usually taught to understand God in entirely personalized images or entirely ethereal concepts. But time, let yourself sit with that idea. Time in and of itself can be the presence of the Spirit of wisdom. How often do we think we have to be in a certain place, like a church, to experience holiness? Or we think we have to show up to worship looking or feeling a certain way to know God. Or we think we have to be with the right people who believe the right things, the stuff we believe, to get close to God. All of these ideas go out the window when we think of time in and of itself as containing the possibility of rest and reconnection with the divine among us, the divine spirit of wisdom among us. Heschel writes, "With our bodies, we belong to space. Our spirit, our souls, soar to eternity, aspire to the holy." This is the glory and the struggle of being incarnate, embodied, fleshy human beings. When I'm sick or in physical pain or just entirely exhausted, sometimes I joke that I want to hang up my body like a dress in the closet and just take a little break. Bodies are both our greatest source of pleasure and pain, and that's what makes them exhausting. And they also have this habit of needing things. And then there's the thing that collectively they have kind of an awful track record of seeking dominance, ownership, and hierarchy. Our souls, on the other hand, enliven our bodies. They connect us to the divine within and beyond this realm. They are like a Wi-Fi hotspot to the divine, the eternal. Sabbath is the time the two, body and soul, commune. And I've realized how finite my energy and time actually are, I'm realizing that Sabbath practice is, to put it a bit crassly, a bit like the password needed to actually connect the body to the proverbial Wi-Fi network of the divine. You just can't get there without it. We also can't get to liberation, and we can't get to healing without rest. There's this incredible ministry led by a group of predominantly Black femmes in Atlanta called the Nap Ministry. They set up installation art naps that are real, not just art. And they have an incredible online presence. And one of the quotes I saw recently from them says, "The toxic systems we live under don't want you to embrace rest and slowing down. Rest has the power to connect and heal us at a soul level. A healed mind and heart can imagine and practice a new way to liberation." In other words, rest can be a form of resistance. Power to the nappers. I am just a couple weeks away from some militant napping, from a time of rest as resistance to all that threatens to burn out in my life, threatens to burn me out in my life, from the macro political to the micro family dynamics. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will be taking the idea of sabbatical pretty literally, exploring themes of Sabbath and embodiment. Pastor Rebecca and Metta will be leading a series on Sabbath, both in some Tuesday evening sessions starting in July, and in regular worship on Sundays this summer in parallel with my time away. But I want to share with you some of what I will be up to during my sabbatical in hopes that it inspires you to build more of your own practices this summer. The Christian tradition is rooted in and around the communion table, at which we eat together in ritual. I will be exploring this practice, its history, and its implications for the current life of the church through study and, well, cooking. I'll be reading "In the Beginning Was the Meal" by one of my former professors, Reverend Dr. Hal Tausig. Here's a summary of what that book's up about. What are the origins of the Eucharist? In the Augustan age, these common meals became the sites of dramatic experimentation and innovation regarding social roles and relationships, challenging expectations regarding gender, class, and status. Eucharist was a swirl of experimentation for the early Christian assemblies, with their love feasts and supper of the Lord. That's a fancy way of saying they mixed things up. I will also have the honor of assembling a group of my fellow colleagues from seminary in a retreat with Dr. Tausig for a few days to practice with him and study with him around this. And then I will be cooking and sharing meals with various contingents of my own beloveds. And I'll be using the cookbook Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, for those of you who really want to know the details, by Samin Nosrat, as my study tool and guide. You should watch that on Netflix if you have Netflix too. It's really incredible. So I encourage you to consider how your daily meals, however they come about, might become a time and practice of Sabbath for you. I will also be exploring, and I am serious, so you can laugh, but I am serious, CrossFit as a form of religious community. CrossFit is a gym chain that exists across the country now. Christian tradition is rooted in incarnation and embodiment of the divine among us. And increasingly, my generation is exploring this understanding consciously and unconsciously through communal fitness practices rather than church. I will be exploring the ways that my generation is finding this kind of transformative community that we find in church at CrossFit. My guiding text will be a paper called How We Gather, which came out of Harvard Divinity School, exploring the patterns of community and ritual and religious life among millennials. In this report, they talk about CrossFit workouts, which are programmed in church speak, like liturgy, across the thousands of gyms in the US. They talk about these workouts as rituals, desperately needed by millennials. Ritual gives us a rhythm in a world where we've lost so many of the traditional markers of time, says the report. We no longer have a harvest calendar. A 9-to-5 job no longer really exists for many of us. So much of our life is completely independent of the natural world around us. And ritual is about bringing a part of that rhythm back. But we don't just need rituals, us millennials. We need rituals in community, shared rituals. So the report continues, people come to CrossFit because they want to lose weight or gain muscle strength, but they stay for community. It's really the relationships that keep them coming back. That need for community was something that was so strong in our research. People were longing for relationships that have meaning and the experience of belonging rather than just surface-level relationships. Going through an experience that tests your physical limits, especially if you're doing partner or team-based fitness routines, there is an inevitable bonding that comes from experiencing hardship together. In the last few months, I joined a CrossFit gym in Minneapolis, and I will be working out with this crew of CrossFitters moving forward into the next few months, and also interviewing some of their coaches about their community leadership and their model of individual and collective transformation. At least at the gym that I'm a part of, they think of it that way. I'm curious what we can learn about religious leadership and community for today and for the future from these communities. So I'm also curious, how might you, too, move your body? Whether it's in community or some desperately needed alone time, as a part of your Sabbath practice this summer. something to ponder and explore. So, my friends, welcome to this season of Sabbath, of basking in the holiness of time to rest and reconnect with the divine, to reconnect your body and your soul. It is a commandment from God. It is a time of communion with wisdom and spirit. It is a day we owe ourselves and each other. Even when the soul is seared, even when no prayer can come out of our tightened throats, says Rabbi Heschel, the clean, silent rest of the Sabbath leads us to a realm of endless peace, or the beginning of an awareness of what eternity means. Eternity utters a day that we call Sabbath. May it be so. Amen.